Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Friends. He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is dishing. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. If it's your first time joining us, welcome to the show. It's 9 years that I've been here, so I'm glad that you're joining us now. What took so long? I'm kidding. Follow me on Twitter, at Max Tucci, because there you'll always know what's going on with me, with the show, with Max and Friends, and we'll just have a good old time together. If you want to email me your thoughts or any comments or questions or complaints, listen, I'm an open book, max@maxtucci.com. Speaking of books, there's a great one that just came out by Holly Brown. This is not over. Holly Brown will be joining me tonight because the book is something that we need to talk about. It deals a lot with bullying. It deals with Airbnb, which is interesting because, you know, I'm transparent with you all. So we're recording the show that's going to air tonight on LA Talk Radio. Happy Easter, happy Passover, happy everything, because here's the deal. I'm in Cuba. Well, not right now, but I will be when the show airs. So, and we didn't know what the internet situation was going to be down there. So I said, you know what? Let's pre-record a show. That way I can be in Cuba and enjoy being in Cuba. So I leave in a couple of days, and I'll be there for a couple of days. And it's exciting to go to Cuba. And there's a lot of great things that I have planned. And of course, next Sunday, I will hook you all up with my Cuba experience. I promise I will. So follow me on Twitter, at Max Tucci. Instagram, the number 2, the Max Tucci. You can follow me there. Listen, we got to plug all this stuff because that's how it just happens. But I've been involved with Unicorn Children's Foundation now for, 7 years, I think. And bullying has been an issue with kids that are obviously just in general with children, whether you have a neurodiversity or not. Kids love to bully. But not all of them, but a good majority of them. I think it's a pattern and pathology that they're learned. So with that said, have we learned a pattern and pathology to be adult bullies? Have you heard of this concept? Well, it happens. You know, when you see games, I think the adrenaline in sports games gets parents going, and then all of a sudden, what happens? They become bullies. Or have they always been bullies? Well, Holly Brown is going to tell us tonight her scoop on this all. Because not only is she an author of This Is Not Over, Holly Brown also practices family therapy. So it's important that we have her here tonight because, you know, I like to disrupt the patterns and pathologies that were instilled in us and just have you look at things in a new way, in a new light. But according to Holly Brown, adult bullying has 3 main ingredients. And we're going to talk about those here tonight on Max and Friends. We're going to talk about the book This Is Not Over, which went on sale January 17th. You can get it right now on all the sites, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, etc. Go there. And then if you want to find Holly, well, you can just go right now to Facebook, because there you can find her on facebook.com/Holly Brown Author. So I want to play some music because, you know, that's how I like to do things here. And then when we're back, Holly Brown is going to join me. The book, This Is Not Over. Stay tuned to Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We'll be right back.
A tree hypnotically reminds me so. I tell you, I need a second. afraid to learn. I can dance, but I can't turn. Oh, tell me,
will you lead me to the water? Gotta hear my soul in the water. Will you lead me to the water? Gotta hear my soul.
Stops the dream of peace begins. Every little means is sold as an end. But tell me, where does the meaning begin? Yesterday I heard somebody say the word spiritual.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to the show. That song was Lead Me to the Water by one of my best friends, Sharon Agati. Go right now and find her on Twitter at SharonGitau. Sharon Gitau. I love Sharon. Hey, if it's your first time tuning in, welcome. And if you've been here with me for the 9 years that we've been here, I'm glad. I really, like from the bottom of my heart, I'm thankful because without you, my listeners, there's no show. So unless I just want to sit here and talk to myself and my guests, and which is fun too, because that's how we create conscious conversations. So listen, I have to give a quick shout out real quick to my dear friend Gordana Biernat, because her book, hashtag Know the Truth, is on pre-order right now. So congratulations to you, Gordana, you know, at My Power Talk on Twitter. We love Gordana and she's here often. Gordana and I have great conscious conversations, and Holly and I are going to have one here tonight on Max and Friends. So welcome to the show, Holly Brown.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're here, because the book This Is Not Over, what's the title mean, first and foremost?
Well, the premise of the book is that one woman stays, whose name is Dawn, stays in another woman's Airbnb-type rental. I didn't use Airbnb specifically. It's called getaway.com. And in a way, that's because what Dawn really likes to do is sort of feel like she's getting away from her life and trying on someone else's life. And so she goes to try on Miranda's life, living in her house for a week in Santa Monica. And after she leaves, she gets an email from Miranda, the host, saying, "You left these soiled sheets, basically, and so you're not getting your deposit back." And Dawn, that's the worst thing you can kind of tell her, is that she's dirty, because that's what she hears from that. And it has a lot to do with sort of her past and things that are evolved throughout the book that you learn about her. And what happens is that these two women basically get into this sort of escalating war of words and wills, and neither can let it go. And so one of the refrains throughout the book is, this is not over, that this other person sort of needs to be taught a lesson.
Well, this is not over. And, you know, when I was reading the press sheet, I said, oh, I'm going in the Airbnb this weekend in Cuba. But I think a lot of this has to do, like you said, with the past, with patterns and pathology. So is bullying something that we're taught, or is it in some people?
I think that in childhood, the kids are sort of figuring out social hierarchies, and they're figuring out boundaries, and they're figuring out where they fit in. I think there's something innate that people like to figure out who's in and who's out, that there's kind of figuring out how to be inclusive versus exclusive. And so I think that you can encourage people's better natures, or you can encourage people's worse natures. And so I think that in most cases, people don't bully each other. And in most cases, people who do bully outgrow bullying by the time they reach adulthood. But there's always these sort of outliers. And there's more outliers now than ever, I feel like, in terms of the online cyber culture, which is I think pretty dehumanizing in a lot of cases, and is kind of, a lot of times I'll read them, they're like, this is like the death of empathy, what's happening out there, because just that internet dog pile that happens, that sort of cyber dog pile and sort of cyber lynch mobs and all of that, I think has been, you know, kind of on the rise.
Absolutely. And you know, without being political, it's just what it is the reality of now, is that there are government officials who go to Twitter now to bully. So it's really an interesting concept. I'm trying to avoid getting into politics, but let's get let's get back to you, Holly Brown.
So
This is not your because you know I know what's going to happen. I'll say something, and then all of a sudden I'm going to get bullied for saying something. So I've learned to tango through the conversation. This is not your first book, is it?
No, it's my third with HarperCollins.
Yes, your third book. And for you, with This Is Not Over, the book that you can all go buy right now, what was it in you that you wanted to write a book that dealt with adult bullying?
Well, I think that I didn't start out feeling like it was about adult bullying, because I feel like in general, people often don't know their bullies, that they think that they're morally superior and right, and they're taking the high ground. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to write from the perspective of two women who have a lot of sort of moral outrage with the other person, but really what they have is a lot of displaced and misplaced anger, because there's things in their lives that each of them don't really want to look at, and people that they don't really want to be angry at in their immediate vicinities. And some of that anger is anger that they really have towards themselves that they're not in a place to recognize yet. So I think in a way I think I'm always finding the humanity in my client in my clients at work, and then I'm always trying to do the same thing with my characters, and I know all their vulnerabilities, and I know their raw spots. And so in a way, I when I'm writing, I don't think of them as bullies, because they don't think of themselves that way. But when the book was said and done, I was like, actually, there's a lot of bullying happening in this book. And then it sort of brought into it brought me to a place of thinking about just how often adult bullying is and sort of a state of unawareness and kind of a state of just denial or projection onto other people. And so in a way, having these kinds of conversations is a chance to kind of heighten people's awareness and to make them recognize that there are things that they're potentially avoiding in their life by sort of treating other people in a kind of more aggressive way.
Absolutely. Well, what's interesting is that I feel with bullying, especially and adult bullying, is that these are unconscious conversations. We as humans decide just to say something and say it quickly and we, you know, go for the jugular to hurt someone. So mm-hmm. how is it that we can transition from having unconscious conversations, what I call them, into having a conscious conversation where we don't have to go right for the jugular and start attacking people?
I think that one thing is starting with an awareness of yourself. And if there are things that you're really dissatisfied with and that you're really unhappy with in your own life, and to start bringing the focus to that, because mm-hmm. I think that people, when they're really in a happy, sort of contented place, they don't tend to lash out at other people. That I think those are the behaviors of people who are not where they want to be. And who are avoiding their own pain, or who have trauma in their own childhood, or just things that are kind of unresolved and not being dealt with and not being looked at. So I think realizing that it's not just about disliking someone, it's about the fact that you're actively causing them harm because you dislike them, and that that's just not an acceptable way to move through the world. And most people, when they realize that that's what they're doing, that it's not just, I don't like this person, it's, oh, I'm actually lashing out at this person in a way that is causing them emotional pain. When it's in the workplace, it can be harming their reputation and actually hurting their earning power. That there's a lot of ways that bullying can cause harm to another person. And most people, when they bring their awareness to that, don't actually want to do that. And feel uncomfortable with having that role. Most people feel really uncomfortable being called a bully. And if they really own that title, then they want to change.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I was at an event recently. I was asking the lady who was part of the auction to help me set up something. And I asked her once and I asked her twice. And my demeanor was very like this. I was like, hey, can you just help me? And she had the nerve to turn around and say to me, she goes, stop bullying me. Hmm. I said, and right away I was like, oh my God, am I bullying her? But like, and I was like, did I say something in a tone that maybe that she hurt? And I was like, I don't think so. And then a friend of mine was like, she's crazy. Cause you didn't have, you didn't say anything that bullied her. And I was like, oh, she just wants to start a fight, I think. But why is it that when that term bully comes up, all of a sudden we're like, who, me? And we start looking around like, who are you talking to? Is it in other people to call you out if that's what they are?
I think it's an uncomfortable idea, the idea that a bully is someone who needs to have power over people, who's insecure, who's belittling people, who's intentionally causing them harm or distress. So it's something that people don't want to associate with themselves. I think it can become an overused term, though, in a way that it's like when someone says something that you don't like, it's not automatically bullying. I think in some ways bullying has to do, there's both, it's not just intention, but I think there's a subconscious intention in a way to avoid our own stuff by putting it onto other people. And so I think that there can be a situation where people can overuse the concept of bullying, where they're not really looking at, is this other person intending to cause me harm? Or is this person just making me uncomfortable in this moment? Because there can be that thing where people are like, I'm unsafe, or this is hostile, as opposed to saying, I'm uncomfortable. And there is actually a really big difference between those things.
Huge
or I don't like being asked for something twice, in the case of this woman that you're talking about, right? Like,
huge
I would
difference.
Prefer not to be asked twice is different from I'm being bullied.
Right, because I, you know, and the way you just explain it, like, literally, I felt upset, because I was like, I don't want her to think that that's who I am. But then my friend was like, mm-hmm. definitely that wasn't you, that was on her. And it's true, mm-hmm. it's like, we use the word bully, I think, very quickly. But, you know, we have to, I think, define the word bully. So before we talk about Miranda and Dawn, let's define the word in your professional experience. What is an actual bully?
Well, you were using the when you were introducing, you were talking about the three main ingredients, and so I'll maybe start there. And
perfect.
I think that adult bullying as a behavior has the three main ingredients, which are being intolerant of differences and denigrating other people to boost your own self-esteem and shutting down your empathy in order to do so. And I think that there are people who are engaging in those behaviors where it's not a global thing, where it's not that they actually are bullying all the time, but they do sometimes engage in bullying behavior. And that's what we're trying to bring awareness to, is it's not to say that you just move through life kind of knocking people out of your way and kicking them, and, you know, that
like
most people don't do that.
Right.
Where they have a wide range of targets, but most adults, if they're doing it, it's targeted at one person, and it, with Miranda and Dawn, it's very distinctly targeted just at the other person, that they feel it's not the way they behave in life in general, which is why it's so easy for them to blame the other person as opposed to turning inward and looking at their own behavior. So those are sort of the key ingredients of adult bullying behavior. And if people are doing that on a grand scale, where there's a wide variety of people that they berate and humiliate, then yeah, I would say that's a situation where that person is an actual active bully. Those are the people who are probably not going to be that ashamed to be called a bully, though,
because they thrive off of it.
Mm-hmm.
They thrive off
it's
of,
powerful,
right? You know, without judging, it's something to me that is sad, because it's like there's something so deeply rooted that make people thrive off of bullying. Because, you know, and then if it gets into the physical aspect, is that still a bully?
As in situations of domestic violence, is that what you're thinking of?
Or someone because I'm thinking physically, like we had mentioned, kids, they'll kick and scream, they'll kick one another, they'll punch one another, you know, and that's what they know. But when, as an adult, when they start getting physical, when do we cross that line of, okay, you're no longer a bully, like, now this is something else?
At that point, I would say they're a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Because domestic violence is a crime, or if they're assaulting people on the street, or they're, you know, then they're committing crimes. So I would say it's crossed over from bullying into criminal acts. I tend to think of the vast majority of adult bullying as being more psychological. That it can be, online bullying is often about shaming. It's often about sort of these people who band together and they are all outraged and they start feeling their behavior is justified and that the victim brought it on themselves. And they sort of join in. They all, and the thing is that in a way, being morally and righteously outraged can feel good to people, because it feels good to be right. It feels good to be superior. And if you've got a whole group of people who are all saying, yes, we're all right in attacking this person, well, then you feel really vindicated in acting that way. And that's where I feel like the internet and apps and all of that, I think, they can obviously be positive tools, and they are in a lot of cases positive tools, but they also just have like tremendous potential for hurting people and victimizing people.
You know, they do. And I remember, because years ago when all of the internet first started coming out and everything was like, you know, like the AOL dial-up days, you would get that ring, right? It's like, and so when all that started happening, I remember that I became a victim of internet bullying, and then we didn't even know what it was. You know, it was just like people were, I did a TV show back in 2003, and things were still new, and really, I mean, it's not that old of an industry. And so I remember I had called a private investigator, and I was like, you know what? He's like, I have no idea what to tell you, because this is all new. So now, all these years later, that it's still happening, and yes, there's things to protect people with bullying, and it's become a criminal act in some states. But why is it that bullies go online, do you think, like, to hide behind that internet wall? Are there types of bullies, is my question?
Yes, there's. I think the motivation tends to be really similar, in terms of you're not feeling so good about yourself, and you sort of project it onto other people, and then that temporarily helps you feel better about yourself. You know, it puts you into a position of superiority instead of inferiority. It's very temporary, because I think true self-worth and self-esteem and self-compassion and all that stuff is kind of where it's at in terms of long-term, like, feeling good about yourself. But I think it's sort of a temporary solution to, you know, a larger problem for people. So I think the motivation tends to be similar. The way that people express it can be different. It can be that people are in a workplace and they gossip, or they isolate people, or they. I think one of the most painful things for people in terms of adult bullying actually is being ostracized, you know, and feeling like you're just sort of not part of things, that you're not included in things, and there's a form of humiliation, like you're not even kind of worthy of being acknowledged. I think that's a really painful state for a lot of adults. In terms of online, what I think happens is that people are free to do things they wouldn't do if they were looking into another person's face, because the roots of empathy come from looking at other people's faces and hearing their voices.
Wait, I love that. I got to write that down. The roots of empathy. Say that again. That's a tweet moment.
Oh, okay, great. The roots of empathy come from seeing other people's faces and hearing their voices. From an evolutionary standpoint, that a lot of kind of how we learn to relate to each other as humans is we look at social cues. We're looking at, you know, this person's sad, this person, so we know what to do based on what we're seeing. And so being online, it removes those cues. And so it removes a lot of the ways that we would feel guilty or that we would feel ashamed. If you said something to a person and they looked really wounded, you would generally feel bad about that.
Hopefully.
But you post something and you don't see the other person's reaction, so it's not real to you. And so it frees you up to say and do all sorts of kind of terrible things.
And it does the same thing
to all the other people who jump in with you.
Yeah, it's damaging and sad. And, you know, I think what you said before is that the acknowledgement. And I think really, we talk about it here often on Max and Friends, that people, and Oprah says this all the time, do you hear me? Do you see me? Do I matter? No matter how old we are or who we are, that's what we want. We want to be acknowledged. And I think that, like the movie Mean Girls, like, so we're just now grown up mean people in a society where it's really what happens when you bully. I mean, what saddens me is that bullies just, they seem, and this might be in just the world that I live in, but I just see bullies and I feel like there's never a consequence for bullies. So how can we take a step to report bullies, and who do we call?
If it's online, you have the ability to report people on, you know, and Twitter is supposed to be strengthening their policy because they've been, I don't think it's an overstatement to say they've been sort of notoriously lax about bullying. So I think a lot of the apps and the websites, and they're trying to put more protocols in place for how you would report people, you know, and of course you have the ability to block people, those sorts of things. In terms of, like, in real life, so if it was something that was going on in your company, it was a colleague, I think they're all really delicate situations because they're all very individual, and it's figuring out what's going to benefit you the most in the long run. So having to decide sort of the right strategy for the right situation. I think if it's someone that you can just avoid, you might just end up avoiding them, but it might be someone where you're saying, I need to report this, and an HR, you know, a company's HR tends to have policies for how to handle those kinds of things. But there's a lot of political considerations, right? There's a lot of, like, how will I be seen if I report? And I think there's a lot of victims who, for that reason, decide not to report. They decide that it's going to be detrimental.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like a rape victim. We're talking about bullying, but give us some examples of adult bullying outside of the internet communication.
I think that there could be, within your social circle, people could sort of spread a lot of rumors, you know. They could subtly control or undermine you by being critical or demeaning. They could, if it's at work, they could talk behind your back in a way that that harms your credibility or your relationships. There could be political backstabbing in the office. That could be, say, subtly questioning other people's competence or performance. Ostracism, giving people the cold shoulder, which is often really painful and invalidating because it's a way of saying you don't even exist. And like when you were talking about those questions about, you know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Do I matter? And they're trying to make it so the answer to all three of those is no.
Is no. Yeah.
Which is really a very painful thing. So those tend to be the most common ways it happens in, you know, in adult social situations or in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. So for an example, what are some headline examples right now of adult bullying?
I think there was a headline not too long ago that was about Leslie Jones, who was in Ghostbusters, and there was a lot of racist cyberbullying that was happening. I think that was a big one. I think a lot of the ones that are in headlines are things that are about celebrities, or about suicides. So, if it's a celebrity, it's there's things like when Donald Trump, back when he hadn't secured the Republican nomination, he was really irate with Megyn Kelly after the Republican debate,
right.
And I think a big quote he had was, "I almost unleashed my beautiful Twitter account on you," you know, and I still may was a sort of a famous quote that he had said, and he did tweet a whole lot of insults about her, and he called her crazy Megan, he said she was overrated and a bimbo and unprofessional, and people should boycott her show, and there was a lot of really terrible stuff that happened to her in terms of his supporters who were then, you know, kind of making threats to her and doing a lot of attacks, and so that was a lot of online stuff. Back in December, there was an article that I saw in Huffington Post about a 36-year-old woman who'd received an anonymous note that was mailed to her house, and it read, "Women who weigh 300 pounds should not wear yoga pants." And what she did, which was really pretty cool, was she turned it around and she shared the note on Facebook along with the message, "I'm a sensitive woman and I despise cruelty towards others. And at 36 years old, I'm still being made fun of. And whoever sent this, be an adult and tell me who you are." And there were a ton of people who responded to her on Facebook. And there were women who posted their own leggings pictures in solidarity. And so there were a lot of people who sort of rallied around her, which I think is the flip side of certain things. I know that Gabby Douglas, who was the Olympic gold medalist, talked about like some bullying nicknames. They were called her Crabby Gabby, and that she was berated for disrespecting her country when she didn't put her hand on her heart, or for not smiling enough, or she doesn't style her hair the way people think she should. And so it's a lot about kind of the social pressure that's placed on women, and backlash that you get when you don't adhere to people's social norms, their chosen norms. So I guess those are some that jump out. But there's always these ones about kind of shaming of various types, fat shaming, slut shaming. Even I know one that interests me is kind of parent shaming, which is that if like the kid goes missing, sometimes people will go on and they'll try on social media and they'll say things like, "Where are the parents?" and "Why did this happen?" And what I always think about in situations like that is that it's blaming other parents. It feels self-protective, like if it's other parents' fault, then it would never happen to you or to your children. So it's a way that you kind of insulate yourself from how scary the world can be, because as parents, we're always making mistakes all the time. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know what's going to happen in the world. So I think sometimes people, that's like a flip side, is that you're trying to make your world feel safer, you're trying to make your world feel better, but that unfortunately you do it kind of at the expense of some other people.
There was a situation recently, and when I was preparing for the show, I wanted to bring it up because there's a friend of mine that I met in Sundance when I was covering the events, and he was a makeup artist there. He did my makeup for the television to get me ready for the shows, etc. And he had posted something, and it like broke my heart, because I met him for all of the 3 days that we were there, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, he's such a nice person." And someone had sent him, like that woman, an anonymous letter. The person wrote, and I'll just read some of the letter from it. And it says, "You're a joke. Your makeup and your hair skills are basic. Your own friends talk shit about you. Your mediocre skills. You're not a true artist. You cry like a bitch." And then it continues to say, "Your struggle is real. You've gotten so fat with bags over and under your eyes. I travel the world and work with celebrities. You're jealous of me. I'd be jealous too. You barely work at Mac. I'm fabulous with a fabulous life, and you are fat. I won."
Oof.
And these are adults.
Right.
How he handled this was funny, because it's done in a like a really light blue magic marker. And he said, "I bet they wrote this in a blueberry scented marker," because it's just something that is just
childish.
So childlike. But, mm-hmm. So when people who receive letters like this, what do you tell them to encourage them?
It's important to recognize that this isn't really about them. It's important to recognize that the kind of human being who is going to do something like that, who is going to be just so hateful to another person, that their real punishment is in being them. That's how I always see it. I think karma isn't necessarily one incident or sort of it comes around in one big way. But I think karma is being the kind of person who would do something like that, being the kind of tormented person with such incredibly low self-esteem that's how they have to raise it. So I feel like the key thing is, if someone is attacking you, they are saying so much more about themselves than they are saying about you. And it's critical for you to be able to recognize that, to not take in the sort of ugliness and hate that they're trying to get you to take. They're trying to poison you with their own disease. And it's theirs. It's not yours. And so I feel really strongly it's about how to insulate yourself and say that those attacks are about that person. And if it wasn't you, they'd pick another target.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is not over. That's for sure. That's for sure. That's the name of the book, and that's the show right now, because we're going to take a quick break, because there's always a silver lining, I believe. And we're going to talk about how change starts with awareness. So when we return, we're going to talk about overcoming being an adult bullying, and we're going to talk about change. You remember, you know what I always say, change doesn't change until you change first. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We're talking about the book, This Is Not Over, by author Holly Brown. Holly and I are just talking about adult bullying because did you know that you could actually be an adult bully? But here's the case, because we've got to move on with the show and the illusion of time is creeping up upon us. I want to leave with a silver lining so you all realize that if you're going through this, A, there's help, and B, if you are an adult bully and you want to change, Holly's going to give you some tips. So Holly Brown, how do we, if we are, if someone is an adult bully, how can they change?
If they listen to this, it's a good sign because it means that they have some desire to change. They have some desire to learn about this topic, you know, and they're questioning themselves. Mm-hmm. It's important to question yourself. I think no matter where you are in your life, whatever stage, I think it's important not to get too sure of yourself and your own rightness. I think you need to look and say, okay, what kind of choices am I making? You know, and so I feel like change, definitely change starts with awareness. And so I think we're trying to raise some awareness here. And to think of it as it doesn't have to be that you are a bully, but you may be a person who is doing some bullying behavior in certain situations. So you want to look at what situation is that happening? Who is this target? Why is that person meaningful to you? What's going on there? Like, what's triggering you about that particular person or those particular interactions? And what are better ways to release your negative feelings? Like, do you want to write in a journal? Do you want to scream into a pillow? Do you want to talk through your feelings with someone else? You want to figure out how to release some of the vitriol you're feeling and not forget that you're dealing with an actual human being and not forget your own humanity.
Mm. Well, I long for the day when bullying will be over. But we're talking about the book, This Is Not Over, which deals with two adults, Miranda and, of course, the lovely Dawn. Right?
Yeah.
Dawn. Miranda, I just remember the name Miranda so much because of Sex and the City. But it's
right.
Miranda and Dawn. And these two women, you know, different social economic backgrounds too. Is that mm-hmm. where a lot of bullying stems from?
With Miranda and Dawn, what's interesting is that they each feel that the other person has what they lack, or at least they imagine that person has what they lack, which mm-hmm. is a core thing, I think, in bullying is envy, and it may be misplaced envy because a lot of it is coming from what people are putting out there on social media, which may or may not be their reality, but it's their, you know, the persona that they're putting out there. So with Dawn and Miranda, like, Dawn envies that Miranda is in a financially secure state in life, and she's already raised her son, and that she imagines her to be in a really stable place, and Dawn does not yet feel very stable herself. Miranda envies Dawn because Dawn is much younger and very beautiful and appears to have her whole life ahead of her and looks like a lot of things are going to fall into place for her being young and beautiful. And neither of those things end up being true of the other person, but they project them, they imagine them, and it fuels the envy and it fuels a lot of the behavior in the book and why they sort of go after each other in the ways that they do. It's because they really want what they imagine the other person has.
Right.
So
lots of tension and intensifying feuds, right? So how do
it was
we
fun
come,
to write, yeah.
I'm sure, you know, as fun it is to read, because not fun in the aspect like, ooh, you know, I want to read about tension and fights, but it's great because it brings out the awareness. And a lot of people don't know how to identify what they're going through. So I think this is a book that really, if you feel like you're Miranda, if you feel like you're Dawn, you know, that's, I think, for me, the first step to realizing who you are when you can see yourself in others and why are they doing this and why am I acting this way? But so with this feud, this intensifying feud that plays out during the book, you know, right away, being that I'm in radio, I think, and television and cinema, I see this as a movie. And I could just see this feud because there's that show right now, Feud, between Bette Davis and
yes.
and Joan Crawford. That is like the ultimate in adult bullying with each other.
Yeah, it's fun. Right? It's fun. I've been watching that one too.
So if this were to become a movie, This Is Not Over. It's a book by Holly Brown. I want you to go get it now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. Go to your local bookstore and get This Is Not Over, a novel by Holly Brown. But if this were to become a movie, who would you have play Miranda and who would you have play Dawn?
I love the idea of Jennifer Lawrence for Dawn because I love the idea of Jennifer Lawrence for anything. I'm a big fan of hers. I think Miranda is not a terribly attractive woman, which makes it much harder to cast her because Hollywood is not really filled with, you know, not terribly attractive. I think that, but I would love one of the Kates. I would love either Kate Blanchett or Kate Winslet, but, you know.
With a lot of makeup.
With a lot of makeup, a bigger nose, a bigger, you know, prosthesis, yes.
But, you know, it's interesting because the way that just projected is that bullies seem to be ugly, right? Mm-hmm. And even if they're not, but it's a mm-hmm. projection of that the actual nature of bullying is just an ugly, low-frequency action. So mm-hmm. I can understand why this mm-hmm. this bully should be ugly because it's an ugly thing to be a bully. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I think when people start changing from being bullies, literally there's like a new frequency about them and they look different, smiling. You know, if someone doesn't smile, I always say beware because that could teach you a lot of things. The book, This Is Not Over. We're talking about adult bullying. My guest tonight is Holly Brown. For more information, you can go to facebook.com/Holly Brown Author. There's three books that Holly has, three children besides your own, right? Every book is like a child, isn't it?
Yeah. And you feel differently about them in the same way different kids have like different traits and characteristics for sure.
So how is it that you feel about This Is Not Over as opposed to your other books, Don't Try to Find Me and A Necessary End?
This Is Not Over is the only one that grew out of personal experience. At least the setup was a personal experience. The characters are not me in any way, but the setup was that I stayed in someone's vacation rental, and I was there with she was three at the time, my three-year-old, and I was later accused of leaving a gray child-shaped gray stain, I think is how it was described, and that they were taking the security deposit to cover the sheets, and I was extremely offended, I have to say, and I fired off an angry email back, and the host fired one back to me, and we were sort of, you know, lobbing these grenades back and forth, and it was really funny, and that, not that I found it funny at the time, but as soon as we had sent back three or four, and then kind of I said, okay, you're keeping my deposit, I get it, and I'm going to leave a nasty review about your place, and as soon as that was done, I was reflecting on that state and how much we really seem to be trying to convince the other person of our rightness, you know, how much we kind of had, we were both morally outraged in this exchange because she was offended that I, you know, that I was accusing her of lying about this. And I was offended she would accuse my child of being so filthy that she would leave a gray stain, which I've never in my life seen a child leave a gray stain on it. It's so bizarre. And, but I think that we sort of got into it. We were really trying to get the other person to see our side and cry uncle, and why we had any investment in that at all. I you know, it is really fascinating. And as a therapist and as a writer, it's a really fascinating idea. So I sort of took that premise, and then I thought of what kind of women would keep going. So she and I dropped it, like I said, after a few volleys. But I think that coming up with the kind of characters with the kind of backstories that would take this through an entire book in this, you know, kind of steep escalation was really interesting to me. And so that's close to my heart for that reason, just because it's, you know, it's a little bit me, not too much, but a little bit.
See, that with me, if that were to happen with me, I would have gone and I would have bought the most luxurious sheets. I would have put them in a box and send them to them and be like, here's some new sheets and just diffuse it, because it does happen, you know, once, and especially on the internet, when other people can see the reviews or whatnot. Like, we have to have that right, that I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. No, you're right, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right. Whatever.
Right.
That's why I have a very wonderful phrase that I use in life, and it's everybody's right and everybody's wrong. And with that, it just makes life in my reality, like, so much happier. Because when you think of those words, everyone's right and everyone's wrong, when you think about any thought, thoughts are all just made up anyway. And we're standing in our rightness or in our wrongness, and we're projecting that onto others, and it escalates into adult bullying. So just remember that right now where you are at this exact moment is exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's here on Max and Friends. My guest tonight is Tina. Wait, who's Tina? Is Holly Brown. Who's Tina? See, all of a sudden, I feel like Whoopi Goldberg. Do you have someone named Tina in your family that's trying to contact you?
That was, oh, there's so a Tina bizarre. Brown. There's a famous Tina Brown.
Is there a famous Tina Brown?
I think she was, yes, she was an editor of something.
Okay. Well, that was really, really weird. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's from watching Feud and all I can hear is, Christina, bring me the axe. But the book is called This Is Not Over. You'll never forget Holly Brown's name now. But Holly, tell us about your blog that you have, because it's a cool one, Bonding Time.
Oh, thank you. It's on Psych Central, so there's a whole bunch of blogs there from various mental health professionals and people who just have, and some people who have been living with mental illness themselves who are talking about their experiences. And so my blog is me talking about parenting and marital relationships and not married relationships and relationships with ourselves and others. And so I do a pretty wide range of topics because I like to jump around. I can't write all about one thing. So it's a lot of the sort of ideas and concepts and tips for just kind of how to, you know, be content with yourself and to create better relationships with the people around you.
So how can we be content with ourselves? Such a loaded question with such a time left.
Yes, I said I like to do broad, so yes, you gave it to me. I think a way to be content with yourself is to create more self-compassion, but I also think having more compassion towards others feeds into that. I think it's compassion is a practice, and it doesn't always come naturally. I think that we're in a somewhat judgmental culture, and so I think that we tend to judge ourselves harshly, and we can judge other people really harshly. So thinking of compassion as something that you can actively nurture and cultivate and practice every day, that for me is a good place to start.
That is a good place to start. And I have a note here from my producer that says, Tina Brown is a journalist who wrote the book, The Diana Chronicles, a biography of Diana, Princess of Wales. So I don't know what that's all about.
Nice to have fact-checkers there.
But like, they're writing so quickly. But my host is me, Max Tucci. My guest is Holly Brown, the book This Is Not Over. Holly, I'm just like on that vacation mode. You know, like Cuba's calling. Cuba's calling, and I'm like, I'm ready to go to Cuba. But
I hear you.
You know, I'm so excited about Cuba. But I want to we got to wrap this up. But I definitely want you to come back because I'm reading some side notes here that you deal with a lot with marriage and family therapy, as well as sex therapy and codependency and marriages and everything else. So actually, we're working on another show, but we'll just talk about it here real quickly. And how do you feel about this? And then I'm going to have you come back because I want to talk to you more about situations like this. So what happens? They're sending me a note right now to ask you this. What happens when you're invited to your ex's wedding? Do you go or do you not go?
Oh, there's so many variables. Is it, how did it end? Do you know how the relationship ended?
I guess okay. I really don't know. I think if you get an invitation to your ex's wedding, it kind of ended okay, no?
Right. To me, it's how much time passed. It's how, you know, if they left you and you're still kind of in love with them or a little bit sour, I'd say turn that down. But if you really feel like you can go in a spirit of generosity and goodwill and think like, my life's going well, I want their life to go well, I want to see them into the next chapter, then I say go. But if you're not in that mindset, Don't go.
And don't stand up. For please don't stand up if you object.
Right. I think that's good advice, yeah.
Right? But this is not over. Unfortunately, this is over because that's just time. But will you come back and join me on Max and Friends so we can talk about stuff like the show that we're working on in the near future about going to your ex's wedding?
Oh, I would love to. You're really fun to talk to. Yes, please invite me back.
Thank you. You are for sure coming back. But before I let you go... The book is called This Is Not Over by Holly Brown, and you can go to hollybrownbooks.com for more information. Go get the book because it's something that we need to talk about, because I think when we talk about things, we bring awareness to things, and we bring awareness to things, then change happens, and then when change happens, then you really have the capability to be happy. Life is really not that difficult. We make it difficult. But Holly Brown, what is something that you want our listeners to go into this week? Some advice or a favorite quote of yours?
Oh, okay. Let me think. I would say, in keeping with the theme of what we've been talking about, to think about if you get really irritated or really frustrated or really angry, especially if it's with a stranger, to think about what else is really going on for you. So before we project onto other people, to take that as a sign, to take that as there's some information that you need to get, because I think our feelings are information, and sometimes we try to ignore them and just go past them. And so I would say if you're having like an unexpectedly strong reaction to anything this week, try to look inside yourself and figure out where it's coming from, because I think there's probably good information.
There is good information, and thank you for the information. And what I want to tell everyone tonight is you are not here to shrink down to be less, but to blossom into more of who you really are. Don't let bullies dim your light, y'all. You need to shine on, shine on, shine on. So technically, I'm in Cuba, even though I'm not there yet. In my state of mind, I'm there. In my reality, I'm there. I'm already enjoying a mojito in Cuba. But I want you all to really have a wonderful week ahead. I love you for tuning in to Max and Friends. Tweet me at Max Tucci. If you are a victim of bullying, call your local authorities. Let them deal with it. Don't take it upon yourself to deal with it, because then in return, you become a bully. You know, we found some areas where you can find help if you're being bullied. You can call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can go to stopbullying.gov. So I love you all for listening. And I have to say unto you, good night and good karma. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends.
Max and Friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing.